Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 503. I'm Adam, and you've just removed a council axe from a council van. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Damn, you just took my quotes.
I get one of these. Oh,
I was a dad once.
Oh, yes. And Mary Lang.
I was attacked by a pencil scribble.
Indeed.
Yes, you were.
Yes, sadly, we are trying to briefly talk about the episode Fear Her. Now, I've been...
can we talk about the news first?
No.
Please.
No, news is not... No. Because I don't want to linger on Fear Her for too long. You understand where I'm coming from, don't you, Mary?
Yes, I definitely do.
And one, because we've reviewed it before. And two, because there's no need to linger on it. Oh, here we go.
Master.
We avoided it, did we?
I would not consider you briefly saying something in episode 49 with Alicia reviewing it before.
I want to go through it quickly. I think what people think about it is going to be more interesting in the episode than this one. But nevertheless, here, oh no, stuff's coming through on the live feed. Yes, guys, we have a live thread on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And for those who are wondering why we've been away, although if you're listening to back episodes of the show, you won't even realise we've been away. Alicia is now Alicia Quinn. So she's married and... we had a little bit of a celebration, and we had a lead up to that celebration, which meant I didn't really have time to do podcasting. I haven't really got time now because she's expecting me to edit her photos. I didn't take many photos, but our photographers gave me the files to edit so as to save me having to pay them out of a kindness.
The moment you paused after she's expecting, and I'm about to go.
No chance. She's got two dogs. But yeah, I will be putting part of my wedding speech on TikTok at some point soon. And you will see, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you'll be able to see some of the pictures as and when. I put one of my picture actually ended up in the newspaper. So I only took about seven, but one of them ended up in the newspaper. So that's quite good going, isn't it? Good success ratio, considering the others combined ended up giving me about 2,000 photographs or more to work through. Anyway, right, so I was doing that before we started recording, actually, and Deb was sat in here with me looking at the pictures. Doctor Who, right. So we will begin with Fear Her, and it starts with a... Bear in mind, this was filmed like 2006, 2005, something like that. A London 20...
It was like January or February 2006.
Okay. A London 2012 banner across a little cul-de-sac. Eh?
Faster.
What?
That happens. That banner is the BID logo, not the logo they later chose.
It's the... Oh, the BID logo.
Gee, I wonder why a lot of things that are in this show are not the same as when they actually happened.
Anyway, yeah.
You mean they didn't go through time?
It's a bit of a shame, isn't it, that they decided to... consider that they were going to use the BID logo, not the general. It doesn't matter, though. It's just a science fiction fantasy.
David Tennant didn't really light the Olympic flame on the day of the Olympics?
Judging by the fact that there's a little bit of poetic license and a writer's license going on with the whole of this story, we just have to live with it. Okay, so there's a street where kids are playing around. There's missing signs on lampposts and somebody sort of watching out of a window through leaning on the window. I would have told them off for leaving smeary handprints on the window, but then but anyway. And a little old lady, I'm pretty sure she used to be in EastEnders, who's going up and down the road. She's a bit worried because kids keep disappearing. And then this lady comes out who's quite a well-known actress now. She usually plays tough-nosed policemen in dramas, but I'm sure she's been in other stuff as well. I'm waiting, pausing for an answer from somebody.
Looking.
What?
You mean Nina Sosanya?
You're not going to get a ding for that.
In the Last Tango in Halifax. She's been in lots of things.
I know she has.
She's in everything.
She is quite...
Oh, she was in Casanova.
Oh, I know what she was in, what I remember her from.
She must have been with David Tennant before. She's in Casanova.
Maybe so.
She's been with David Tennant more than once.
She was David Tennant in... Was it staged at the Fantastic... thing that him and Michael Sheen, who hopefully will be the next Doctor.
She starred in 2015. She was starred with Catherine Tate and Mark Gatiss in a play, The Vote.
Anyway, so Lynn Robin says hi, and then she said, "Did I say anything?" What do you mean, I didn't say anything? I was going to read the live feed, but I got interrupted by somebody. Brandon Moore says, "Sorry I'm late. I just got back from a Shane Ward concert." It's random. If you get the reference, you've been paying too much attention.
Yes. There was a poster in the episode.
And Shane Ward was in Coronation Street, so was the patron of the show, but I forgot to mention that last time we recorded.
The old lady was in EastEnders.
I know, I said that.
Yeah. We know that she was.
Why are you saying things I've already? Oh God. Anyway,
you said you thought she.
Yes,
was,
it was a rhetorical. I thought I knew. If I sometimes say don't like to be too much of a clever clock, but if I say I think she was, it usually means she was. Andy Nunny says evening. Me and Andy Nunny had a nice drink last week at Thornes. He bought me a drink and I didn't buy him one back. I like it when it works out like that.
Was he there for the wedding or does?
Don't be absurd. Nobody was allowed to go to the wedding, not even my family. Or Deb's family, I should say. Alicia.
So he was just there on holiday.
Yes. Brandon Moore says, I think the old lady was in EastEnders. All right. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. So the lady who's Chloe Webber's mom is in lots of stuff now. Good actress. That's probably why she's in lots of stuff. Anyway, so Chloe's drawing pictures rather petulantly. Very good artist for a young person. And when she finishes her picture...
Except, of course, she didn't do the drawing, obviously.
Oh, God. And when she finishes the picture... this little boy disappears and the actual drawing becomes animated, which is quite creepy and quite good. And then we come through the best part of the story, which is the title sequence.
The highlight of the story.
And then the second part, best part of the story, the TARDIS materializing between two containers the wrong way.
I agree, that's the best part. Yeah.
And then he opens the door and goes, oh, and then turns it around a little bit.
The writer in the commentary says that he loved writing that scene. He always wanted to write the words TARDIS materializes, and he could write it twice.
Oh, right, okay.
The TARDIS has materialized in odd places. I mean, it's materialized on the edge of a cliff, and then it falls over.
Oh, yes.
You know, and it's materialized sideways. You know, it's done... Yeah.
Done some odd things. That's the first time it's done that, which is good. Mm-hmm. And then the reference to Shane Ward...
I've seen that. It may have done it other times.
I don't know. I don't remember it doing it any other times. It doesn't mean it hasn't. Shane Ward posters on the thing. Of course, Shane Ward played a character in Coronation Street. As has Toby Haydock, which I didn't mention last time. I'm mentioning it again because he's patron of the show and stuff. I don't think he wants to be, but he is.
Yeah, I just noticed this was directed by Euros Lynn, who's normally a good director. Too bad he wasn't with this one.
Harsh. Anyway, so the Doctor and Rose...
Have you seen Toby Haydock in Coronation Street?
I have. Have you seen Toby Haydock in Coronation Street? Do you get them really late?
No, I get them same day they come out, but like a week behind in watching them.
he's been in it for, I don't know if he's still in it, Deb thinks he is, but I don't watch Coronation Street. I just watched a couple of the scenes that he was in. I've told him this, I'm not going to watch Coronation Street, but I will watch the bits that he are in.
Hey, guess
and he
what?
Just went, ha ha. I mean, what?
Guess what?
What?
I don't watch Coronation Street. I don't watch EastEnders.
Anyway, so the Doctor and Rose are walking around down this cul-de-sac and seeing all these missing... posters and the Doctor's sort of feeling vibes in the air, and then this council worker turns up who's again a very good character in the story, potential companion fodder again. Did you say something interesting that I have to ask?
I said he's one of the best characters.
Oh yeah, he's been in some stuff as well, but I can't think because he's obviously quite a lot older now.
Wikipedia doesn't link him to anything.
The dog has just entered the room.
Hang on.
Oh, God. I wish I'd not now.
He was in Casualty as a paramedic, Curtis Cooper.
Right.
He's been in Love Actually. He played Tony in Love Actually.
Is this going to drag out the review of Fear Her?
He's doing it on purpose. So, if you like this story so much, Kobe, I don't know why I didn't just let you talk about it. Yeah. Maybe because I want to actually have to edit some pictures.
I like it better than most people.
Yeah, go on. Anyway, so yes, we talked about the council chap. The doctor is sort of feeling vibes in the air, and the old lady is warning this gentleman who's a couple of children having a kick around in the front garden to get their kids indoors because the kids keep disappearing. Silly old woman. And then in the middle of that, Chloe draws a picture of the little boy in the Union Jack jumper, and he disappears. The doctor and
That happened before the credits.
Whatever. Anyway, there's a scene in which there's a mention of the fact that Chloe's dad died at some point.
Eventually, yeah.
And then a cat goes into a cardboard box. And the funny thing is that Chloe draws a picture of the cat. The cat then disappears. But there's a sound it makes when it disappears. It's quite amusing. Sort of thing.
Master? They apparently just grabbed a cat from the pound or something. It wasn't a trained cat. And they spent hours over 2 days trying to get those few seconds of the cat.
Three days, really?
Okay.
So they couldn't be bothered to pay for a trained cat.
Apparently not. And in some of the confidential, you can see they attached a string to the cat. It gets to pull it along or something.
Jeez. So anyway, the doctor's impressed. There's a funny smell coming from the box, which he recognizes as some sort of, I can't remember what the energy was. Chloe draws a scribble, which attacks Rose when it comes out of the garage. And then the doctor sonics it into a little ball of stuff. Meanwhile, in the TARDIS, they examine this ball of...
You realize it's a ball of wibbly-wobbly stuff.
So anyway, they go to Chloe's house, and while Chloe's having a whinge about her how horrible her life is, they're watching the Olympics that aren't on tele with Hugh Edwards doing the commentary. Very woodenly, I have to say. I would have thought, being that he's playing himself, he would have been able to do it a bit better. Yes!
They were trying to show, by the way, that since this was set 6 years in the future from when the show was, that by 2012, people are going to be watching on computers and stuff. So that's why they've got it on a laptop.
Well,
apparently, there's a flat screen. There may be a flat screen TV on the living room wall. I'm not sure.
Mm.
But that would have been unusual in 2006.
Yeah, there were flat screen TVs. Because if you watch a series called Desperate Housewives, which was being made around the same time, most of the people... Well, mind you, that was set slightly into the future, wasn't it? When they did a five-year break, no, they did a five-year jump in the middle of Desperate Housewives, and I'm pretty sure they may have been trying to, you know, jump forward in regards to flat-screen tellies or whatever. But people did have them in those days anyway. They were quite expensive, and they were called plasma tellies.
That's right.
But yes, people do watch stuff on the internet. But I watched the Olympics on BBC One. The catch-up show in the morning, because it only happens all in the early hours of the morning when I'm in bed, so when I want to watch it, I watch in the early hours in the morning, or in the catch-up show in the evening, or just the sort of stuff they talk about on the news. Of course, it's the Olympics.
The current Olympics, it's just the catch-up stuff.
Yeah, can't watch it when it's on, like I say, it's just bad hours. Meanwhile, They poke around Chloe's house, this is the doctor and Rose, and the doctor has a sort of heart-to-heart with Chloe, who's in a right bad mood. And in the cupboard, there's this sort of orange light and sort of a drawing of a monster with glowy eyes, which almost entices Rose in, but the doctor catches her before she goes in. And I'll just move forward a bit, because there's just lots of discussions going on.
Then there's the great thing where the doctor's in the kitchen and he sticks his fingers in the jar of marmalade and Rose frowns at him that No, you don't do that.
Right. Brandon Moore says the logic of the Scrabble monster. The logic of the Scribble monster makes no sense. Anyway,
totally,
right.
Totally agree.
It's explained in the dialogue. So how does it make no sense?
Is that just a mathematical creature in some ways?
She's angry, and so.
All right, you don't have to do that now. You don't have to talk about it now. Anyway,
it's establishing that if she can take things out of the real world and make drawings of them, Isolas can also take drawings and make things in the real world. That's explaining.
There's been more far-fetched stuff in Doctor Who previously. But anyway, moving on. Where did I get up to? I've lost where I was now.
Chloe
goes into trance. She goes into a trance and starts talking in a great big deep voice. I commend the little girl who played Chloe. I may have said she wouldn't be good in the past, but I actually think she's very good in this. A bit moody,
actually,
but
very good.
Probably coached by the actress who played her mum. Then we hear the story of what happened after her dad died, and we see the Isolos or something like that going into her and sort of more or less sort of taking over her. Meanwhile, they're watching the Olympics again, and ironically, they focus in on a group of people with a Welsh flag, which was just because it's been made in Wales. Very not at all subtle, that was it. And then even more people disappear, and she starts drawing the Doctor and the TARDIS, and then the Doctor and the TARDIS is because of Rose. Oh, I want my Doctor back, sort of stuff. And for some reason, Rose gets the idea.
Master. Just before the Doctor and the TARDIS disappear, the Doctor and Rose are discussing things in the TARDIS, and it's first time in the modern series that he mentions...
Is mentioned in this story, but I think it was mentioned before this anyway, but carry on.
Yes, it was mentioned before this, so I just took that back before you said that.
Wow. I'm pretty sure the Ninth Doctor mentioned the Shadow Proclamation.
Not the Shadow Proclamation. His being a dad.
To get ahead of the dialogue here, that you're embarrassing yourself, Kirby.
I can't get embarrassed with what I say on a podcast.
So anyway, Rose...
I said much more embarrassing things on a podcast, quiz.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, Rose, for some reason, thinks that because there's been some new tarmac laid in the street, that there might be something in the hot tarmac. So she takes an axe out of the council van and digs up the council tarmac and whatever, and finds a little creature in it. Or it's a spaceship.
She doesn't really even know what she's looking for. And that little thing pops out and it's like, how does she know that that's it?
Yeah.
Because it was described
little Kinder egg
in the dialogue.
Yeah, okay. We can talk about that in a minute.
She knew what she was looking for. She knew where it was. They saw it on the console in the TARDIS.
Okay.
Where to find it. So it has already been explained.
Not good enough for me.
Right, anyway, where do we get up to? Right, then, so then she draws everybody in the whole stadium, woo, and they all disappear. And then the wooden commentary by Hugh Edwards. Well, one of that's why he never got the job for the 2020 Olympics, i.e. 2021, but the 2020 Olympics, because he doesn't do it now. We used to be the Olympic commentator.
2012.
That's the opening ceremony commentator rather than the Olympic commentator, to be fair. Anyway, what happens here? Oh, yeah, then Rose has the little sort of spaceshipy thing, and there's a crowd that has sort of got together for the Olympic torch thingy, which I thought wouldn't be in daylight because I'm pretty sure it was night later on. And she throws it up in the air and it flies into the heat of the torch. It knows where it wants to go. Very, very cheesy. And then everybody... Oh, that's right. Then everybody... because that sorts out most of the situation with the Isolos thingy, whatever it's called. And all the kids reappear, and all the people in the stadium reappear. And
Dad reappears.
Chloe's still a bit...
Dad's dead. I would think Dad would reappear in a grave.
Yeah.
Not in the closet.
Yeah, so
well,
Chloe.
This is why the establishing thing for the Skrivel creature. By the way, don't say Skrivel monster. It's a Skrivel creature.
Yeah, Brandon. Skrivel creature.
RTD said the doctor would never refer to it as a monster. Anyway, that's why they had that, to establish that something could come from a drawing.
Thank you, Kirby. No rescuing from Ben this week. Right then,
better than you two.
Yeah, okay. Can I get on with it then? Anyway, so Chloe's still slightly possessed. And the bloke carrying the torch becomes a bit tired under the weight of the torch, because it's got a spaceship in it, and he falls over. The doctor just comes along and picks up the torch very, very cheesily.
If he could do that.
And lights the big flame in the stadium and starts the games, and then goes back to Rose for a big cuddle. And then with the fireworks and a bit of cheesiness, and then a preview for next week. Okay.
He also says, the very last thing he says is, a storm's approaching.
Well, he would do. Because that's leading to next week's episode. Your tail's going to get...
Of Rose saying, oh, and we'll always be together.
Yes. And the writer was saying that he was told by RTD to put all this stuff in. He had no idea why he was writing that stuff in there.
So there we go. That's Fear Her. Not too bad, I suppose. 28 minutes. Could have been worse. Right, this is what I think of it. Right, it's a bit crap, to be fair. It's not terrible. I wouldn't sort of volunteer to watch it, simply because I find the Olympic thing part of it quite... Although it's a different timeline, so the Olympics in a different timeline may have been like this. I accept timey-wimeyness, it's fine. Because obviously things have changed in the Doctor's journeys throughout time and whatever. Obviously we didn't get a Prime Minister Saxon, did we? So we didn't get a 2012 Olympics that looked like this. That doesn't bother me. It is always very tricky when you go slightly into the future in a production and you get it completely wrong. And that side of things, it wasn't completely wrong, because they did have Olympics in 2012, but it really wasn't like that. And that sticks in the mind a little bit. There was a lot of cheesiness going on, but on the plus side, there were some really good performances by the actors in the show to try and make it work. I think Kirby's point about the story and bits of the story are explained in the dialogue, but the fact that a lot of us are so bored we don't really are able to absorb that dialogue, and we're so bored by the story, you don't really want to watch it and therefore reabsorb this dialogue that you're talking about, means that it really isn't very good. I'm glad it's out there, because it's a Doctor Who episode, but I prefer to have a Doctor Who episode that I can think, oh, let's watch that. It'll be a bit of fun watching. I just tune out. I even watched it this evening and sort of tuned out while watching it. It's not terrible. I mean, there's certainly been worse since this one, but it's just overloaded with I think it was West Country extra mature cheddar for me, and I understand they're just about to come into a very sort of tough, hard hitting story, so they want something a little bit sort of you know, what would you call it, middle of the road, I suppose, just to sort of get everybody geared up. But I think it probably would have worked better if they had any story better than this, with maybe a really happy ending that has a little twist, a little bit of air of, like they did a little bit at the end, but a bit more better done. I think it's not terrible. And I accept that the Skrivel monster, it's a science fiction fantasy TV show, Skrivel creature. They could manifest themselves in any way, shape or form. If you're possessed by an entity or whatever, it may look a certain way, appear or materialise in a certain way. It's quite a clever idea in some ways that she's drawn a Skrivel, something that she's written in anger, and that manifests itself as an actual thing, entity or whatever. And I also think, why not? Why not have, you know, somebody can draw pictures of the person to make them disappear? It's Doctor Who. I think it could have been done slightly better. But it's, I don't know, it's just not very good. Sadly, it's not absolutely disastrously bad. It's just not very good, and it's a shame. But we haven't got really too much to complain about, because I think Chris Chibnall would have been absolutely thrilled with himself if he'd written this story. So, right then. But the Kirby, what did you think?
First of all, is not nearly the worst Modern Who story by a long shot. This is a nice middle of the road. This would have made a better Sarah Jane Adventure.
No, it wouldn't. It would have ruined the reputation of the Sarah Jane Adventures. That was a brilliant series. Carry on.
I do think that we should, when we finish the journey, possibly go through the Sarah Jane Adventures. And
you're only trying to stretch out my work, aren't you? That's basically what you're trying to do. Pretty sure we already did the Sarah Jane Adventures, but carry on.
Anyway, as you can tell, I'm not as down upon it. I don't think it's the bottom of the heap like it was twice with Doctor Who magazine. It's not in the middle either. It's in the bottom third, but it is not nearly as bad as most people try to make it, in my humble opinion. It's okay. I watched it twice yesterday, once with commentary, and I didn't really mind it at all. I was watching and going, this isn't that bad. Now, a couple of things. I like your bringing up that there are alternate 2012 Olympics, because there was an alternate televised adventure at the 2012 Olympics.
What do you mean, the Queen? You talk about the Queen and Daniel Craig?
No. I'm talking about Doctor Who. It was a short thing. It was called a mini episode that was broadcast in 2012. It was written by a school collectively. It was called Good as Gold.
Oh, I seem to remember something about this.
It involved the TARDIS materializing in the stadium, and the torchbearer, who wasn't David Tennant, running into the TARDIS, being chased by a weeping angel. That is canon, and it's a different timeline. Therefore, you are absolutely right, Adam.
I'll get one of these, do I? Brilliant. Oh, God,
Ben says he's waiting.
Yes, get in!
So,
carry on.
Yeah, again, I'm not completely negative on it. So there.
Excellent. Oh, sorry, you finished so abruptly when I'm trying to add someone to the show. I think before we do... not in the biblical sense, do Mary. Better wait for Ben to join. I've dialed him up, and his little face has appeared on the screen, and he hasn't answered yet. I better let him know. This is typical of this show, isn't it? Hang on. Yeah, okay. I'll reply on the live feed. Here we go. Oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. I've lost all the bloody messages. Oh, no, I haven't. Right. Oh, that's the bell. I'll just lens against it. Write a reply. Calling now. Ooh, now. Okay. I nearly clicked on ending live video. That would have been a good one, wouldn't it? And back to there. All right. Okay. Is he answering? Let's have a look. Oh, he's not. Okay, let's try again. Oh, he should be able to join the call now because I've called him. Hang on. You should be able to join the call. Oh, there he is. Oh. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Oh, he's got his good microphone.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Can you not hear me then?
Hello.
Why have I got a...
Hello.
Hello.
There's a nice echo.
Why am I hearing myself over and over again?
Hello.
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 Well, this is... Oh, this is really weird.
Why?
Yeah, man, I've got such a... I'm in my new studio, and this is the first time I've done anything from it.
Uh-oh.
Is this in your fifth shed or your sixth shed?
Wow.
Oh, that's
Can
better.
Can I hear anybody?
Can you hear me?
No.
Can you hear us?
Why can't I hear anybody?
Oh, dick. Oh, hang on.
You should test these things before you call in.
Turn.
If I turn that up.
Your audio up.
Should be on there.
I can even hear me, him, receiving my messages. This is bizarre.
Oh, hold on.
Right. Lillian Robin says...
Go ahead.
No, Lillian Robin says elevator
now,
music.
Then.
No, in a minute then.
Says what?
She says elevator music.
Oh,
and then Brandon Moore said, interesting... I can hear myself coming back again. That's weird.
Right. Can you
Hello?
Hear me?
Yeah, but can you hear me?
I can now hear you.
Yeah, but I could hear you before you, and you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, do you know
we
why?
We can all hear you.
Oh, fantastic. And do you know what's really good?
What?
I used to have to sit here with my headphones on, but because I'm some sort of technical genius, to the point where I forgot to turn the amp on, which is why I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. Logical.
Sort it out. So I've got you coming out of my my speaker.
That sounds a bit rude.
Fantastic. How am I sounding, by the way?
Very studio professional like.
Yeah, very good.
Yes,
well, I've
yes.
only got the cheap mic on at the moment.
Well,
so,
that's good enough, Kirby. Get one of them. Brandon Morse.
What's wrong with my mic?
I was joking. It's called facetiousness. Brandon Morse said, "Interesting new career choice, Ben." What does that mean? And then. That's a waiter joke, apparently.
Is it? So I tell you what, look, I'm going to take a photo of what I'm looking at now in my new studio and post it on the live feed. So
you've got your camera on.
I
can see some picture. I'm gonna... Anyway, where was I? I was doing a show, wasn't I? Hello, Ben, how are you? No, right, fair enough.
Filled all the potholes around here.
You whatting?
I've filled all the potholes around here. Look at that one. It's a beauty.
Oh, are you doing a quote from the show?
Wow.
Oh,
yeah, bloody hell, that's a first.
We are doing Fear Her, aren't we?
Yes, we are doing Fear Her.
Yeah.
Kirby's just been saying how wonderful it is. I was going to move on to Mary to see what she thinks. So what do you think of Fear Her? I'm interested to hear, to be fair.
Me? God, come to me already, blimey.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I really like it. It's one of those ones that you watch and it brings back so much nostalgia about the 2012 Olympic Games, which were a fantastic time in this country's history. Even though this was in 2006. Bloody hell. So, yeah, 6 years before the actual Olympics. But it just, you know, when you watch it now, you just think, oh, God, the Olympics were great, weren't they? The story itself, I suppose it's all right. It's a little bit wishy-washy. They... The mother, the actress who plays the mother, is
well known.
But somewhat overreacting at some point. But I suppose she's an actor. That's what she does. she gets paid to overreact. David Tennant's brilliant in it. Old Bill Piper's good in it too. And it's a nice enough story, isn't it? The problem is, it ends in a bit of a wishy-washy, wokey, smoky, make everyone happy way, doesn't it? Where he makes everyone everyone lives.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is the first time since the last Everyone Lives that everyone's lived.
Thanks, Kirby, for that insight.
This is Everyone Lives, and nobody's making any big deal about it.
Yeah, I suppose there's no real jeopardy in the. In the story, is that's a trouble?
No, not at all. And I'm now hearing me and you. And it's nice enough. And it's more nostalgia than brilliance, I'd say. So
it's a really weird feedback loop coming through the.
It's because I've got this. I'm trying to post the picture. And
That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So all in all, I'd give it a solid some out of 11.
Well, here, this is what everybody's really, this is building up the old suspense for. Here we go. It's, come on. No, do it properly. It's Mary.
Well, I do agree with you, Adam, that this is a Doctor Who episode, and we welcome every Doctor Who episode, even the ones that are boring or appalling. But there's nothing to say about this one. I mean, if they wanted to make a show about child abuse, they should have made it about child abuse instead of cowardly, you know, dancing around the subject. Mm. They could have posted a number at the end, you know, in case anybody, you know, could call about what to do about child abuse. If they wanted to make it about, you know, scribble monsters, well, then they should have really gone full bore into the scribble monster thing. But
can I just say at this point, if you have been affected by scribble monsters, do please call 0800-61...
If they wanted to make an episode about everybody at the Olympics being in danger, then they should have done that story. But what I read about is that this whole thing was conceived at dinner with Davies and Gardner and the author of this, who I haven't even bothered to write his name down. When he was given the instructions, Davies said, "I want you to write a story that's going to scare children. I want it to be a child's story. I want you to scare children with it." And this thing went through many rewrites as Davies kept coming back and telling him more things that he had to include in it. So it looks like that kind of a story, like it never could make up its mind as to what it's really about. And so that's why we end up with, you know, this mishmash. And it ends so cheesy and I don't know. I would rather just leave in my rear view mirror.
Oh, is that it? Sorry. I just got a kiss off the dog. Yes?
May I make a point here? At the time that this came out, I was introducing my kids to Doctor Who, and they were, about from between the ages of 12 and 9-ish. Mm-hmm. And they all three liked this one because it was written for them. Like I said, it would have been a great Sarah Jane adventure.
Yeah, well, Davies wanted a child story that would scare children. Oh, and other things. The author was also told he had to make it cheap, and he had to make it so that they didn't have to use any CGI if possible.
Right.
Yeah, also said that when it was a broadcast and his kids saw it for the first time, they were scared, and he actually had to deal with his own son being scared of the creature in the closet.
Well, then I guess that he succeeded in his brief thing.
Yeah, and he apparently sang Kookaburra to his own kids, which is where why that was in there.
Okay.
Marvelous.
I thought that was a strange song to
have
in there. But a strange choice of song, yes.
But I'm going to try and move closer. He used it because he used it in real life.
Okay, well, thank you. I think we've managed to cover that particular section of the show. And now means we can move on to feedback. I heard from a very good source, and I don't mean Tomato or HP, that Kirby has posted a request for feedback. I'll be interested to see how that panned out for you, Kirby.
Yes. I'm scrolling down. I just refreshed the page. I hope people liked how I converted Chloe Weber into a 3D picture there. Or actually, Facebook did.
I didn't, but there you go. Oh, sorry, listeners, just not the microphone. I blame that on the dog.
Ouch.
Carry on.
Neil James says, "Fear her. Usually I rewatch the episode you're due to review, but I really couldn't be bothered to watch Fear Her this week. I don't like it much. The cast are fine, but it's just a bit of a nothing episode. I hope there are people out there who can enjoy it, and maybe I'll give it a go again one day. But for now, it's just meh. 1 star out of 5. Robert Wiz Jr. has a animated GIF of Chip and Dale jumping up and down going, yeah, or yay. I posted a YouTube video of Spike Jones in his city slickers doing a 1945 song called Chloe, because it's a funny song.
Stop flapping your ears.
Sorry. I don't know what this picture is that Robert Wince Jr. Posted. He says, fear her more than the one in this episode. But I don't know what he's referring to.
Well, I'll be interested to see. Let's have a look. Is it a Margaret Thatcher?
Looks like a zombie of some sort.
Yeah, it does. It looks like The Walking Dead.
Not familiar with that. I think maybe Isabella might be familiar with it.
A picture of a Spock mind-melding with Nomad. Says, give me some Spock, Rose. Although she said that with the Ninth Doctor, not the Tenth.
Yes, Sheldon.
And his review, Robert Wince Jr., my review of Fear Her. Chloe Weber, possessed by an alien being, draws pictures of people and makes them disappear during the 2012 Olympics. The Doctor uses a mind meld on Chloe to talk with the alien. Very cartoonish with the drawing of the people and the Scrubber Monster. Just as bad as Love and Monsters. Fear Her ranked 192 out of 200 in Doctor Who magazine in 2009. In 2014, it was ranked 240 out of 241, just above Twin Dilemma. My rating is 1 out of 5. I will skip Ian Kirk. Robert Wince Jr. is commenting on Ian Kirk, saying that's what this story is, a trick, not a treat.
Yes.
That's it.
Is that it?
You expected a lot from this?
No, not necessarily. I was just seeing how I can get these bits of audio that have been sent through the email system.
By the way, I
can't even read out the email address. Yes.
This was not Orphan 55.
Therefore, I know it wasn't. It's called Fear Her. That's the whole point, Kirby. We know it's called Fear Her. Right, okay, audio feedback. We've got this.
Well, good evening, 20 megabytes is handy down here. It's 4:15 on Saturday evening. I'm sitting here with a bottle of water, actually. It's nice change, doesn't it?
It does.
Can't be a spot of Adam's ale every now and then. I watched Fear Her this afternoon.
Bloody hell's that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's interesting, wasn't it?
No.
I mean, the concept behind it probably was quite good. I mean, it must have been to have got pitched and taken on as a story. It's just, well, it is pretty...
rubbish?
It's just awful, isn't it? I mean, it's... you know, I really cannot find anything good to say about it. The concept of the solace, could be a Latin now, I guess, but spreading children, leaving 4 billion of them, and they get lonely, and therefore they want... company, and you've got this little girl who can draw like crazy, and you've got the monster that actually turns you to a dad who's hiding in the wardrobe, and the mother who finally gives him and says there's something wrong, and you've got kids disappearing, and they're blaming the council workers who are reeling tarmac, and it's stalling. Who on earth dreamed it up? It's interesting, actually, because he actually has got a couple of points of relevance, because the fact that the Olympic Stadium was empty, well, of course, the Olympics are going on at the moment, so apparently I don't watch them myself, but the course stadia are all empty.
Not even the rugby sevens.
The thing, it's almost a bit about mental health, and you think the issues about mental health, I mean, for those of you who follow cricket, which I know Kirby, of course, would be about Ben Stokes, who wants more cricket, because
yes,
of mental health issues.
Good point.
A lot of people have been supportive. He's been talking about it and showing some grit. Yeah, there's some people who just really do this on the real world. But to get back to the story, it was interesting watching Billy Piper take the lead in some places. I suppose the moving pictures was, I suppose, different. But she threw a thing and it landed straight in the Olympic torch.
Well, she didn't throw it. It flew in there.
She got a pickaxe out of the van and the guy didn't try and stop her. And then where did he go? In the house, and she ended up putting the pickaxe to the door. Well, did she have to bring the pickaxe with her? I mean, if somebody burst into your house with a pickaxe, I think I'd get rather worried. It just didn't work, did it? I mean, yeah, 10 out, you know, it was, I believe... so for people said 10 out of 10 for facade, but minus several million for good thinking. It just wasn't. There was one good thing about it, though.
Yeah.
It was over.
There he goes. Andy Nunny, everybody.
Hey,
don't get
Andy.
Too excited, Ben. Oh, he's gone.
I'm not, man.
Oh, you are. Okay, right. Let's hope this one works. Oh, it might not work if I do it in that capacity. Let's try it in this capacity.
There's a mystery man. He's picked up the flame. We've no idea who he is. He's carrying the flame. Yes, he's carrying the flame and no one wants to stop him. It's more than a flame now, Bob. It's more than heat and light. It's hope and it's courage and it's love. Good evening, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This is Mr. M with
Hello.
Some feedback for Fear by Matthew Graham. Quite possibly one of the worst hours of so-called entertainment ever committed to film. There's not a single good thing, really, about this episode.
I found one.
Yep,
it's interesting how similar it is to the Idiot's Lantern, which, given there's only three episodes in between them, I'm surprised that they didn't pick up and try and change some of these elements. You've got the Doctor and Rose arriving on a suburban street in England. You've got people mysteriously disappearing. Halfway through, one of the Doctor and Rose disappears, leaving the other half to resolve the story, and it all ends with a street party. The only difference, of course, is the Idiot's Lantern is actually watchable.
Ooh,
this is not. The whole idea of the kids randomly disappearing into the drawing is a good idea, but I feel like the fact that when she drew the scribble monster and that brought it to life, that should have been more the focus of the episode. There's so much more creative possibilities there. But no, let's just go with the kind of lame A4 friends. Everything to do with the Olympics in this episode is abhorrently bad. Hugh Edwards deserves a BAFTA.
What? No, I think
being able to deliver some of those lines with a straight face, especially every mention of Bob. I mean, I can't wait for the Big Finish box set. That's all I'm saying.
And well, Bob's your uncle.
The whole council, you're digging up a council road, a council axe or whatever. And at least we got that petition for David Tennant to actually carry the Olympic flame. But what even happens to that guy? Why did he collapse? Just, well, I suppose he'd seen the rest of the script. But although this is the worst episode of the RTD era, at least I can actually sit through it. Billy Piper does a pretty good acting job. The less said about the girl who plays Chloe, the better.
I thought she was all right.
And
yeah, I didn't like
that. I don't like the way that the Tenth Doctor is written in this episode. He comes off as much more aloof and obnoxious and sort of Tom Baker-ish than David Tennant has played in for the rest of the series. So I feel like that was a bit misjudged.
There's a reason for that.
Trailer for the next episode is good, though. Made it look really exciting and epic. Probably better than the episode actually is. So yeah, a poor showing this week, and just awful.
I don't think you liked it.
Now,
tell us what
there
are really
some
think.
Developments in the world of Doctor Who.
Oh, he's going to give us stuff.
Mentioned,
moving ahead,
such as, well, first of all, there was the news that we're only getting 6 episodes in the series, rather than 8. Rather than 10, rather than 13. Okay, there's been a pandemic, but nevertheless, we're now down to 50% less episodes per series, with
can only be a good
an
18-month
gap between, well, more than 18 months now. It's 18 months since the last series finished. And I just can't help but wonder why that is the case. I'm looking forward to it all being one connected story. I felt like Christian Moore would have done that when he took over, so why not give it a try now? Generally, I think the better stories of Jodie there have been the longer multi-part stories rather than the individual episodes, so let's see if that continues to be the case. And the other news, of course, is Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall leaving. I'm a bit nonplussed by Jodie Whittaker going, and ecstatic about Chris Chibnall. It's a shame that we are not going to get any Jodie Whittaker episodes written by, or at least the show run by, someone who actually has any skill. But, hey, if they made a suicide pact together, I'm happy if it, if you've got to take one of them down to get rid of both.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Next week, Torchwood Tower, and it's every fanboy's dream. No, I'm not excusing you.
What the hell? Sorry. Sorry about that.
What is Gloria Estefan doing here?
I don't know.
What was that?
I was just opening up a window and it started playing something from it. Sorry.
No, I'm not excusing Chris Chibnall. It's Sidemen versus Ducks.
You're missing part of what he's saying. Go back.
I just played it if you listen to it. Right. Check. Right. I'll play it again for the third time.
A Torchwood Tower. And it's every fanboy's dream. No, I'm not excusing Chris Chibnall. It's Sidemen versus Daleks.
Woohoo! Well, thank you, Mr. M, a.k.a. Brandon. Yes,
yeah.
We'll talk about the new Doctor situation, etc., during the news feature. Yes, Mary?
Oh. Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you did. Apologies.
Mary, I was surprised you didn't... make the note that I'm sure it's in your notes someplace that this particular story was written. Well, it was actually planned to go into the next season.
Yes, it
series,
was.
But it was pulled back to this one because Stephen Fry was going to write what was going to go into this spot, and
yeah,
something
happened.
Yeah, it
was way too complicated, and it was going to offer way too much expensive stuff. So so they jerked that one out and.
They watered it. Sorry.
They jerked that one out.
That sounds almost that's what she said moment there.
Hang on. Said someone has sent something to me.
Did they? Oh, they're nice of them. Right then. Where did I get up to? Oh, yes, we've got another bit of audio. Sorry. I'm trying to do behind-the-scenes stuff very skillfully here. Using the old method of the internet. Here we go.
Hello, 20 Wing Map Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hey, what's happening? Rose is being attacked by Scribble. Unbelievable. Fear Her by Matthew Graham. We have a missing person poster, like we had for Rose in that previous story. I like the joke of the TARDIS materialising the wrong way round and blocking the doors.
Best thing in it.
This story is well written and well acted. It's just the plot is corny.
Very.
The writer said this one was for kids, and he did not care if the adults liked it. Just as well, really, because we don't. The answer is low. As it is with several new Who stories. I had an email from work earlier. They wanted me to come in, but I did not see it in time. They usually text, so I had to review this story instead.
Fair enough.
Good did you hear us. About Jodie Whittaker?
I did.
Bye for now.
Master.
God, yes.
Going back to Brandon's comments.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually pretty close with that. This is almost a Tom Baker-ish doctor.
Yeah.
Matthew Graham, during the commentary, he's the writer, said that he had only seen, he was shown a few Tennant things, but of course they were in the middle of filming when his first season series, sorry. While he was writing this, so he didn't really have a good idea of Tim's character, but he did grow up watching Tom Baker. And so that was basically the doctor that he saw in his head.
Thank you. Right. Some blurb has been sent out initially to Mr. Bartlett Sloan. Sorry, Mary, you're going to have a week off this week. Please dictate the blurb.
Wait, there's no Alan T. Butcher?
Do we normally do Alan T. Butcher's before the one you're just about to read out?
I don't know the order that you...
It could have been a new format.
No, yeah. There's no new format. Tried and tested this format of this show. That's why we've got one view. I mean, listener, sorry. Carry on, Kirby.
Perhaps Alan is frantically writing it.
Just get on and read the blimmin' feedback. Oh,
okay, this is from Linda and Terry Miles. This episode saw us jump forward 6 years to the year 2012, using the London Olympic Games as a backdrop to the events of the story. This episode directly explored the impact of child abuse through the character Chloe Weber, played by young Abisola Agbaji.
Right, come on. That's a terrible letter.
An actress had done nothing before or since 2006.
Probably traumatized by this story.
What?
Well, you said she's done nothing before or since, and I said she was probably traumatized by the experience of producing
is
this story.
Is that the camera crew reflecting the window when the doctor is sniffing the grass by the goalposts?
Well, I wouldn't know.
This is one of the few times that the doctor is rendered helpless and Rose has to sort out the problem, with the help of the mom, Trish, played by the lovely Nina Sasanya. The comic element was provided by Kel, played by Abdul Salas,
yes,
who appeared in Love Actually, as well as Nina.
Yeah.
So, Rose's name is now Lewis, then?
Hey?
The doctor keeps referring to...
Oh, hasn't that to do with some sort of...
The Inspector Morse.
Yeah,
Inspector Morse. It must have been a very cold summer in 2012. I don't remember it being so cold that you could see your breath when you walked.
I forgot about that, yeah.
As an aside, that's written into the script. Why? Because they were expecting it to be cold.
Oh, okay.
The Isolus is absorbing all the heat.
Okay. Shame you had to explain that.
Even after the Isolus has left, you still see their breath. So, anyway, back to Lynn and Terry Miles. The BBC got the Olympic torch wrong, and then add that to the story was a bit meh.
Yeah.
Well, no mention of Torchwood this week. Sorry, I didn't like it on transmission, nor this time round. I'm not alone in thinking this could have been a lot better. David Tennant, Euros Lynn, and RTD have all gone on record as thinking the same.
Wow.
Linda didn't like it first time, but said it was growing on her, poor girl.
Get ointment for that, Linda.
Now, next week we have a two-parter. Hang on, there's the mention of Torchwood. Next we have Army of Ghosts and Doomsday.
Yes.
Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Thank you, Linda and Terry Miles. Very good points there, Kirby. See, that's how it's done. All right?
Oh, by the way, a comment. He says the BBC got the Olympic torch wrong, and he's referring to the fact that David Tennant didn't light the torch. However...
Alternative timeline?
They got the design of the Olympic torch right, because that one that's being carried is almost identical to the one that was actually used in the 2012 Olympics.
It was very close, yeah.
The 2012 one was gold with little dots, little holes through it.
Yeah, but the design.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm beginning. All right. They didn't get it bang on, but hey.
Well, the one they used was white with no holes, and the one that was used was like triangular with a dot. I've got an actual model of it somewhere in the house. Golden with lots of little holes in it. And I'm not going to talk about this. It's not the 20 megabyte Olympic torch podcast. It's the 20 megabyte Anti Butcher podcast.
I've got a picture of me holding an Olympic torch at the Coca-Cola Museum.
I've got a picture of Isabella holding an Olympic torch at the Alara Festival when she was, how old was she in 2012? Six. Right, Ben, I'll send you some stuff to dictate, because I know you love doing it so much. That's what she said.
Yes, I absolutely
radio
do.
Radio books.
Let me just prepare myself. Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry. I just need a swig of my drink. Right, here we go. You can lead a horse to water, but an alien must be drawn. Or, so there is a line you can cross when it comes to incredulity. Dear 20 megabyters. Fear Her is, of course, a closely studied illustration of the dangers of loneliness and introversion, which can lead to disaffection from others.
Mm.
It quite rightly shows that this problem can seem like an unstoppable force and does not attach blame about such an unfortunate condition. Understanding and recognition are shown to help, but underlying fears and anxieties may remain to be faced and worked through. It should be noted that whilst some might say it's been a month.
Yes.
I nearly didn't, but I'm glad. I was slipping down the cliff and just managed to reach back and get my fingernails and pull myself back. Anyway.
Well, just remember when Mary gets to read Alan T. Butcher's, feedback again. Remember what you got to do every time he deliberately drops in the "some might say" bit. How do you do it?
It should be noted that some might say in the sunshine that Doctor Who is a fantasy sci-fi TV show, and therefore any form of magic integral to the plot is reasonable. In fact, it turns out that there are limits. The best thing to say about this story is that the production team bravely tested and challenged those limits and they found themselves beyond them. We also learned that Hugh Edwards, whilst being a very creditable... we'll put an edit in there.
No, we won't.
Of course we bloody won't. I could swear and then you'll have to.
No, don't be naughty.
We also learned that Hugh Edwards, whilst being a very creditable purveyor of news... He's no actor.
No, what I said.
He does an entertaining job.
No, you don't.
Don't give up your day job. This is a poorly put together story light episode, which employs this ineffective method of taking the Doctor out of the badly drawn resolution of the narrative and trying everyone's credulity to breaking point. Approaching this with the thought that it probably wasn't as bad as it seemed to be on original viewing, it came as a major surprise to find the memory does cheat, but it was perhaps worse. It would be good to say that the performance of Chloe Weber character was the one highlight of this story. However, whilst there is no doubt Abyssola and Badgies made every effort to give the performance she was asked to, and unfortunately the direction and script let her down, and the gaping hole of credibility that was the character perhaps cemented the disastrous rubbish going on throughout. The first joyousness of the end does at least give an opportunity to reaffirm the overconfidence which has been the predominant theme of the TARDIS's crew and attitude and undergoing of which will be the centre of the imminent season conclusion.
Great. No punctuation there whatsoever. Great.
Yeah, I read it really well as well. This, perhaps two episodes too long, is both a weak episode and a poorly realised episode. Next up, Doctor Who and his Dark Materials, or Daleks. We are the masters of Rentokil. Those are my thoughts. Counselor, look the master. Alan T. Butcher.
Good job.
Thanks, Alan, and well done, Ben.
Good dramatic reading.
I think read some words. Thank you.
Let's see what's coming through on the live feed.
Any pause for breath in there?
Well, the good thing is, though, that the only other person who's got any idea of what's coming up is Adam, and he very rarely picks me up if I do make a mistake. He does occasionally.
Did I? I don't remember doing that.
Anything at all, and no one would know as long as you say it with confidence. That's the main thing in broadcasting.
Yeah, hang on. I'm trying to adjust. I've just had a request from... I don't know why. This is a bit of a... I don't know why I'm so dark. I think it's because of that window. I'm going to close the curtain. This is a technical... Ah, me bloody thigh. Oh, God, I worked so hard yesterday, but my bloody legs are killing me. I need a nice rub down on my legs. So I'll surprise, surprise, nobody's offering up. Oh God, sorry. Nobody's offering themselves up to do that particular job. Where was I? Right then, I'm going through.
New son-in-law of yours to make himself worthwhile, Adam.
I'm not going to get him to rub my legs down.
It's his family.
I'd rather not. Right then, where do we go? Oh, Laura Nick says, "Halo, Halo, Halo." She says, "My name's not Lou."
Maybe
but
she's referring to the Texas song.
Well, hang on. I'm gonna because of the request from our viewers, I am now going to. Whoa! Why is this so right? I'm going to brighten it up a full blast. There we go. That's as bright as it goes, Laurie. Alan T. Butcher said the format is delicately balanced, and the key to achieving the well-oiled machine that it the podcast. I think that it should actually be is Alan. Just saying. I think you can. Oh, so I've just got my microphone again. Do apologise, listeners. It's just in the same.
Adam's got a good point, Adam. But the one thing I would point out is that everything can be made better by using WD-40.
But the thing is, though, it's quite ironic in some ways that you said about this podcast being a well-oiled machine. That just as I was saying, I knocked the microphone, and anybody's listening to the show has just had their ears blown out. Lillian Robbins says, "Hey, Lou." Laurie Nick says, "Hey, yeah, not hey, red Lou. Nor yellow today." What's that mean? Not red nor yellow. Don't know what that means. Lillian Robbins said, "I'm not sure what Ben was referring to about red and yellow, Laurie. What were you referring to, Ben, about red and yellow?"
Ah, well, what it was is I had pictures of Laurie in my mind. One, there was a red background, and in the other, there was a yellow background.
Okay.
Really?
That's all I'm admitting to anyway.
Random moment of the week. Right then, Doctor Who news. I don't know if anything's been going on this week, but we're going to try and approach that.
Anything to move on?
Okay, right. So, I was just browsing through my phone the other day, and a little bit of news came up.
Right, that some great
for
news.
Once. For
did
once
you not
wasn't
get a BBC news alert.
I did. I don't know. It was an email. Anyway, it came through, and it was from the BBC, and it was real. It was obviously not messing around. It was through the Sun's. No, it wasn't. Anyway, so the news came through. I don't know what came through first. Was Jodie Whittaker leaving or what I read was that they just both decided to leave at the same time. The Jodie Whittaker, that's the 13th Doctor.
They decided that last year too.
Jodie Whittaker, that's the third.
Decided to fall on the same sword.
It's a shame.
Allow me to speak. Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall. That's Jodie Whittaker, the 13th Doctor, or the Doctor, as far as Ben's concerned. Because obviously the next Doctor's going to be his 13th Doctor. And Chris Chibnall decided to leave this. Now, I did say on a TikTok. Now, I'm going to open up the TikTok. This is what I was trying to play. I'll get ready to play. Unfortunately, the TikTok. The initial TikTok that comes up on the screen starts playing, so you might have to listen to that bit first. See here, that's the talk. That is like the head TikTok. Oh no, what's my password? Oh, I hate these things. Right, forget it. Damn, I wanted to play. Oh, I said forget it. No, I said shut up. Shut up. Thank you. I wanted to. Oh, I'll play it over my phone. I can get the TikTok. It won't sound slick, but it is a 20 megabyte podcast after all.
Well, as we said, it's a well-oiled machine.
Good mum!
Woo! They came through. I forgot I would do that. It's come through on the Bluetooth speaker.
That was in my ears.
Sorry about that. I wasn't expecting to do that loud. And I can't. Oh, right, here we go. So this is what I said.
So we can finally say there's going to be a new Doctor. Fantastic. Or is there? The BBC haven't made any solid announcements, although I'm pretty sure they've had plenty of time to do so. But the best part of this news is not so much Jodie leaving, I quite like the 13th Doctor, is that useless git Chris Chibnall is finally moving on. Please be good to replace him.
Now, I thought that was quite a, well, succinct point, really, but some comments came through. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Oh, that means the Bluetooth. I've got to turn Bluetooth off on my phone. So we're going to do that. Otherwise, you won't come back on my speaker and I can't hear. Right. Can you hear me now?
Still can.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Right. Okay. Right. So, it's a lot of that. I filter my comments, by the way, on TikTok because people just get really horrible. So I just read what they're saying in the loud.
You've had some really strange feedback.
Oh, have you read some of them?
Seriously, people are
Right, okay. This, so the Whirlwind 061 said the 13th Doctor was hopeless as well, and I stopped watching Doctor Who when Matt Smith left. Jodie was a female version of him. David Tennant was best. Typical standard Doctor Who. Oh, look, somebody said his shadow one. Absolutely, Chibs is out. We don't need a fan always show running, just a decent writer with a plan.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's where they've gone wrong. Completely got it wrong by doing that two times in a row.
To agree with what he says. Or she. I don't know. Doesn't she say what to say? Somebody, Alien Truth, said, well, I thought Michael Sheen as the next Doctor for me. That would be bloody good. Not going to happen. But it would be bloody good. This is one that made me laugh the most. Michael Payne, good appropriate name. Michael Payne 87 said, wow, what a toxic fan. I'm not a fan of Chris's writing either, but abusing him just makes you seem very childish. Obviously, he hasn't listened to this show. And I said, he's a toxic writer. This is me chipping back. I think he is. Ruining the best show on TV, even surpassing Pip and Jane Baker in that department, and he used to have a go at them. Then he said, ultimately, he came
to... Does he even know who Pip and Jane Baker are?
Probably not. Ultimately, he came in to produce something he hoped fans would enjoy. We don't. Oh, he's admitting that we don't. But abusing him reflects much worse on you than him. It's a TV show. Well, it doesn't, actually, because that's my opinion.
I absolutely agree. What a knob. Sorry.
Yes, thank you. Well done, Ben. So, yeah, there's quite a few on that particular video on TikTok. Most of them, and bear in mind, I have filtered some. I haven't filtered a lot. Most of the comments are on there. Most people think it's a good thing that Chibnall's leaving. And if we have to lose the 13th Doctor by way of getting rid of him, unfortunately, it's a sort of... Fair enough, you know what I mean? I think it's a shame for Jodie, because she hasn't, apart from the older episode here and there, she's been written for really, really badly. She's done the best she could with the scripts and stories she's had. So, yes, great. Chris Chibnall's gone. I'm sorry, Ben, but he's worse than Moffat. Moffat actually was a genius writer compared to this.
I completely agree. Look, at the end of the day... CC, as he probably likes being called on set,
CC,
has come in and done exactly what I've been campaigning against for years, which is changing the history of the show. And there's not one person, even Stephen Moffat, not one person more than Chibbers, who likes also being called Chibbers on set as well. There's not one more person than him who will be more pleased with himself for absolutely ruining Doctor Who. Absolutely. You know, he's taken it from just about being on life support when Moffat had finished hacking away at it to somehow dragging it backwards through every single war-ridden country he could find, giving it every single disease he possibly could. He's made an absolute arse of the show, to the point where, you know, and I'm not the only person who's watched it since Classic Who, who's just fed up with it, because at the moment it is just rubbish. Yeah. It is not what it could be.
Absolutely.
It is not what it should be. It is not what it was.
Can I just interject now, here? Because Doctor Who, and this is why I love Doctor Who, it's the only show that can weave its way into any genre of fiction, because it's that diverse. So I can't understand, with that facility available, why writers can't be more imaginative and clever with the stories. Look,
the other day, I commented on a feed on Facebook. It was on Radio X, actually, which is an independent radio station, not as good as the indierockdisco.com, by the way, for independent and rock-based music. And anyway, they'd put up the fact that Jodie was leaving, and someone replied to it, and they'd written, well, what does it matter? They're going to be replaced by someone who is gay or an ethnic or female. The show is dead. Just put it out of its misery. To which I replied, it was a brilliant show when it came back, but Moffat and Chibbers have ruined it. Too PC, too preachy, too woke. Plus, in my opinion, I know it's not a popular one, the Doctor is a non-female of non-colour, and Jodie was a PC stunt, which killed it for me. He replied, yes, she was entirely. Trouble is, they change every established character in all media, and it doesn't work, so first fans turn off, but the BBC keep doing it. I said, it's made too much. They do it just to appease the minority. If you want to show about female Time Lords to make little girls watch, go and make Do Good as Happy, create a show about a female Time Lord. Don't pander to the squaw because you ruined Doctor
Who. That's a good point.
Totally agree, he said. There are characters that that they could use. I, for one, would love to have seen what had happened to the Doctor's daughter. And I just finished hearing. I said, absolutely, what a good idea. That is such an obvious one to everyone but the BBC. Mm-hmm. P.S. The daughter married her father.
Oh, yeah. On the subject, obviously, I know you have your opinion in regards to it. I haven't actually got... I because I sort of champion transgenderism or what LGBT, whatever you want to be, I like the idea of them using the Doctor as an avenue to make it, you know, acceptable, it being the same person. And I think Jodie really did a great job in inspiring people.
Why do they need to drag all that into it? I appreciate the fact it's a thing in everyone's life these days, and we have to be a lot more nice and sympathetic, and people can be what the heck they want to be. That's fine, you can be what the heck you want to be. Don't ruin a TV programme to do it.
But the point is, Ben, that's what I'm trying to say, is it's no problem in the Doctor being female and being played by Jodie Whittaker. It's the fact they had an opportunity to write brilliantly for this new version of the Doctor, because they were trying to reinvent the series, and they cocked it up massively, and it's a shame, basically.
I agree with you.
So therefore, you've got to do the old thing in sci-fi and reset. You take it back to what it was. You take it back to when it worked. If you're a football team and you change formation and you start losing every game, you go back to the formation you played and you bring back a few players if you've changed them. That's what they need to do here. They need to get the boys out of the boot room. They need to make sure they know what they're doing. They play 100% for each other, 100% all the time. You know what I mean? But at the moment, it's just not working.
I think that going back, the ideal scenario is getting RTD back, but he won't come back. So the next ideal scenario is what Mr. M said.
The thing to do is what someone said a minute ago, which is not to put a fan in.
No, exactly. Put a writer in charge who understands storytelling.
Sorry, go on.
RTD was a fan, and he...
Yes.
He got it right.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes.
Yes, he did, because what didn't he do that the other two did? In my opinion, what he didn't do...
Change the history.
He didn't change the history. Mm. He didn't start cocking about with what everybody thought of the series. Whereas RTD came back when he wrote for it and he ran it, you know, in a way that was just... It was just straight down the line. No problem. Here we go. This is what's going on. You know, ran it well. It kept it simple. Everyone knew what was going on. All the characters were plain simple. There was no bloody, excuse my French, earthly child or whatever they're going on, a timeless child. It's just like, that storyline was just ridiculous. And it's just so unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, Moffat already explained that the new...
things.
Basically, what the Master got, a new series of regenerations. It's basically, he explained that. He didn't have to be re-explained by the timeless child thing, why the Doctor has another 12... regenerations.
We went into the 50th anniversary on top of the world. Best damn show on TV.
Yeah.
One of the most popular shows on TV.
Yeah.
And after the 50th anniversary, which was brilliant, it started just getting worse and worse and worse. There was some great stuff. Capaldi had some good stories. Capaldi had some horrible stories.
Yeah.
And
Capaldi
then,
was great, but his story
is great. But Chip, you know what I would not mind seeing? I wouldn't mind, this is going to be very radical for a lifelong Doctor Who fan, I wouldn't mind seeing the 60th anniversary come and then stop the show for 5 to 10 years.
That could happen. But I still don't think it's necessary because, Doctor Who's still a good genre and it's still very popular. They just need to get sensible. And like people said, try a new showrunner who isn't a Doctor Who fan per se, but obviously understands the history, but doesn't want to weave that history too much into the story. Because that's what RTD did. He eased the history into it. So we had about 3 or 4 episodes where it was all new. New baddies, new ideas, new story, new sort of locations, etc., etc. And then we had Dalek. And I know that Autons were in the first story, but that didn't really matter. They could have been new. Now, they didn't sort of say, oh, this is the Autons that the third Doctor met, blah, 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 blah. It's the Autons, and it was a new thing for new Doctor Who fans, but the old ones would remember them, sort of thing. But the first time we had a classic character was in Dalek, because we had the old Cyberman head in the museum and the Dalek was on its own, and that was fine because we'd all got used to the new Doctor Who, and then he bought, you know, he wove it into the history that way. Whereas I know obviously JNT was quite keen on constantly bashing us over the head with the history of the show, and it has happened a little bit since, you know, we occasionally have a bashing over the head with the history of the show, which was acceptable in the 50th anniversary special, which was magnificent. This is one of those stories, it's a Moffat story, but one of those stories that was good, and we have had some absolute brilliant stories, but it's what gets me. I've always said this, I can't understand why there's so many rubbish ones when they can write so well. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make no sense. It's such a limited series now.
It's like they kind of like get stuck within their own little world of how brilliant they are. And, you know, in media circles, that happens an awful lot. You know, you think, oh, wow, look at this. We're running this show or that show. And, oh, what a fantastic job we're doing. And you know, you look at the viewing figures. I know the BBC were really clutching at straws during the last series and saying, oh, well, yes, the actual viewing figures at the time may be down, but people still watching it on iPhone and iPlayers and all that kind of thing in weeks and months afterwards. That's not the point. The point is, if people love a show, they watch it when it goes out, if you possibly can.
Yes.
You don't leave it until, well, I might catch up with it. That's not what you do when you really want to watch
it.
And I know times have changed since 2005 when it came back, but you really didn't have much of an option to do that. You could record it on your VCR, and that was kind of it. You know, like these days, yes, you can watch it in a million different ways at a million different times whenever you want, you know. But the point is, if you love a show, you watch it.
Yeah,
and people weren't watching it, and that says absolutely everything to me. And yeah, it needs to be, as I said, I think it needs to be pretty much reset. I don't mean, you know, I'd love to see the last couple of series completely written from history. I think they've been absolutely
I don't think they should stop the show.
The Timeless Child thing is going to turn out to be a ruse.
Well, they can write it as a ruse. That's the old thing, isn't it? They could well write it that way. It's not a problem either way. But the thing is, I don't think they should stop the show.
I'll have to watch it all to understand actually what's going on.
I don't think they should stop the show. I think they should just try something new, proper new, as in, like we've alluded to, somebody who's just going to make the show brilliant, you know, that isn't Chris Chibnall or Stephen Moffat. And it won't be RTD.
I had some pictures pop up in my Facebook.
Well, you shouldn't really be looking at those sites, should you?
I had some pictures come up where in my memories, and I don't remember if it was 5 years ago or 7 years ago or something like that. But they were pictures of how pervasive into American culture Doctor Who was getting.
Still is.
50th.
Still is.
Because we had Entertainment Weekly cover articles on Doctor Who.
Yeah. But if you look at this current...
In the grocery... Yeah.
Yeah, but there's current things coming out now, and they're always referencing Doctor Who.
Not here.
Well, these are American films, so they must be. I can't tell you off the top of the head, but I watched some time travel film that was made last year. They were talking about time traveling machines or what have you, and Doctor Who was referenced.
Yeah, but that's probably more something for a fan. It's not your. It's not as popular here. You can't. Back in 2013, you could say Doctor Who, and a lot of people would know what you were talking about. And now it's gone from public consciousness.
Not for good though, Kirby. Be positive. But yeah, no, I'm just thinking I just feel that no, it's not time to get rid of it. I think they just need to try something new. It is still and some people actually liked all this stuff, and maybe they're easily pleased. I don't know. Let's see what we've got coming up on the feed.
I think a lot of the people who were, you know, have been campaigning for the last however long to have a grey, purple, blue tree shaped doctor. You know, they were just so pleased that finally the Doctor wasn't a white male, that it didn't matter what the stories were or how good the quality
but they still
was.
Could have done good stories for her, though. I mean, that's the point.
To give you a quick example of that, right, after the Euros, there were a load of people clamouring for Gareth Southgate to be knighted, the manager of
England. That's ridiculous, yes.
And, which is absolutely ridiculous, because, you know, and one of the, it came, you know, the post I saw came from one of these girls who was just like, oh, it was wonderful, we brought the whole nation together, oh, it hasn't happened for so long, oh, we played great football. And it's like, right, firstly, we didn't play great football. Secondly, every single football tournament brings the whole nation together. Mm. Thirdly, you know, there's only been three managers ever been knighted, and Gareth Southgate shouldn't be anywhere near. But that's the thing you can't get, is people... No, no, the point I'm making
Kirby.
Is people will sit there and not really understand what's going on, but be happy that it's happening.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? And so
they're I do.
Going, oh, well, so you know, no, I you know...
But look on the bright side. I mean, this is good news, Chibnall.
There's going to be a bright side, mate.
No, there is. This is good news because we've.
Why?
It's a new beginning again. Chibnall's gone. We don't know who the next doctor's going to be. It's exciting to think who it might be.
The beginnings have both been bloody awful.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's got to happen. We've got to get some luck at some point.
Wait another whole year to deal with.
Exactly. What damage can he reap in that time?
Well, yeah, we've got a whole. We've got six episodes this year. We've got the three specials in 2022, and that's so close to the 2023 60th anniversary. They're bound to have Doctor Who in and around that time, and I'm just hoping it's going to be a good one. And the 50th was, so fingers crossed.
We'll have to suffer through this next year.
We do indeed, but we've suffered through all the last year, haven't we? Because we haven't had Doctor Who for ages. Yep. All right, let's see what people are saying on the live feed. Lillian Robbins says, "Oh, not that one." Oh, then Laurie Nick said, nice save. Please destroy the negatives. I think that's referring to this red and yellow thing that Ben was on about. Robert Vince Jr. says, hi all. Hi, Al. Lillian Robbins said, you can download your own TikToks to play outside of TikTok. I know that, but that would be via my phone. And then Robert Vince Jr. said, will Jodie be doing the 60th anniversary special? I'll be surprised if she's not involved in it somehow, but I don't think she'll be the current Doctor when it actually comes out. Mary, you've been very quiet for of these discussions of the demise.
Yeah, just because you guys have been so forceful in your opinion.
I know. I want to hear what... Hang on, Mary. Hang on. Where's my window?
I'm not disagreeing with any of them.
Oh. But...
I'm afraid we've run out of time, so we can't do anything.
So, Mary, it's got to be worth another one of these. What do you think?
No, actually, I've already said it. I'm depressed because although we're looking forward to a new showrunner and a new doctor, which hopefully is going to be a more traditional doctor, not go down that road of political correctness.
No.
You know, we still have another...
Go, go, go.
With the current, you know, losing duo. And, you know, and I hate to include Jodie in this because, you know, it's really not her fault. But,
no.
You know, she's...
No, it's not.
Yeah, but... I want a doctor and I want a good showrunner, but I've got to wait like a whole year for that to happen.
The thing is, though, they've had so many opportunities to have a good ethnic actor playing the Doctor over the years. They missed out on Idris Elba. He would have been amazing.
I totally agree with that.
They dabbled with Jo Martin. She was good. Maybe they picked the wrong actress to play the Doctor. I don't know. So, you know,
But I don't understand why, after 13 generations of being a white male, and this isn't a racist thing, if you want a black Time Lord, have a black Time Lord, a female black Time Lord, that's fine by me, do that too, I've got no issue with that. But the Doctor has, for 13 generations, been a white male, why wouldn't he carry on being... Sorry,
it's understandable how you're thinking that way, but I think it's because they never would have done that back in the classic era. They never would have done it, but then perhaps they should have done.
Well,
there were talk.
Yeah,
there
was, I totally get that. But
there was talk. There was talk of the Doctor being a woman back in the 70s, wasn't there? But
yes.
they just didn't do it.
They made that for a reason, because they knew the show would flop.
Maybe.
Now, I wouldn't be at all surprised if I can go off down fan theory city here. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Jo Martin is going to be the Doctor next.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think that'll happen.
A separate timeline somehow.
No, I don't think that. I think that's nice, but I don't think that'll
happen. The politically correct, you know, thing that they've been doing, you know, she would be obvious.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it would be good in some ways.
Kirby, who'd you say?
Jo Martin.
Is that the one who they brought in to be the next Doctor in the clip I saw?
Is that they brought her in to be the surprise Doctor in some ways in the what was that story called, Kirby, with the Jadoon in it? Something of the Dragoon.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good story, actually. That's from the only good one from last year.
I saw something online about the next Doctor, and there was a lady of colour standing in front of Jodie Whittaker. Was that her?
Yes. Yeah, she's brilliant. She was really, really good. She played the Doctor twice in the series.
Was she kind of a big and older woman?
Yeah.
God, I must have. I've really missed out on this.
No. She's good. She was good, though. But no, I mean, I just think that, get the right actor. I don't care if it's black, white, green, red, man, woman, or whatever.
Helby City,
yeah. But that's gone now, so she'll be available to play the Doctor. But I think they just need to be careful how they... Because they've obviously gone down this PC route, they just need to be careful how they reel it back in again. I've heard talk of Ollie Alexander being the next Doctor. I did actually mention him. He's a very good and talented young man. I'm not sure if he's got the stature to play a character like the Doctor. Certainly Michael Sheen would be brilliant.
I think that you've hit on it.
What?
We're looking for someone with some stature.
Yeah.
Someone that we can...
Almost like a thespian.
That if he or she has a companion, we're going to go, yes.
It's a figurehead, isn't it? It's a figurehead for
someone who may be who you go, good actor, like them.
Yeah, somebody that's going to make people's ears prick up that aren't interested in Doctor Who.
And also someone who's not necessarily angled towards 8-year-olds.
Indeed. Yeah. But that can cater for them if needs be.
They've got to be very careful, as you just said, Adam, they've got to be very careful. And I think they've got to pick a Doctor for the elder fans, not the younger fans, and write the stories that include the younger fans. That's where...
That's right.
Huxley was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I've said him on the 20 megabyte page, Robert Sheehan, he's got that alien quality and is a very, very talented actor. He's quite young, but he would be absolutely magnificent as a Doctor if you want to pick a younger actor to play the part, and it has worked with younger actors, as we've seen with Tennant.
Look at the odds here.
It won't be Robert Sheehan in the odds, but go on and do the odds. Hang on, I'll see if I can find the appropriate
favorite.
Hang on, I'll get the music. I'll get told off for copyright, but I don't care. What's that bit of music that we used to play?
Swinging cymbal.
I know where it is. It's in my original jingles folder. Just filling in the gaps for the moment while I try. I've got so many blooming. Here it is. Right, I'll try and keep it low because it's going to be loud to start off with.
Okay.
Oops.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Doctor Who with the rundown of the betting for the next Doctor Who. Here are the odds, Bob fans. Starting at 25-1 is Ben Daniels, Andrew Buchan, Maeve Williams, Natalie Dormer, Olivia Colman, Rich Waller, all at 25-1. Music up.
Up.
22-1 is Rory Kinnear.
Yeah, he's been mentioned before.
At 21, Ben Whishaw, James Norton, and Idris Elba. Up.
No chance. Might as well get Tom Hiddleston to play the Doctor.
Yeah.
1 is Richard Ranking, 16-1 Tilda Swinton, and straight in at 16-1 is Maxine Peake and Mark Gatiss, with Matt Berry also bringing in at 16.
Mark Gatiss might be a showrunner, let alone them in person to play the Doctor.
Actually.
Hope not.
I'd love to see Matt Berry as the Doctor.
Yeah.
He would be phenomenal. Really. Yeah. Anyway, carry on. Music. Yeah. Fourteen to one is David Harwood, Kelly MacDonald, and a 10-1 straight in Pod Pickers is the funny man with the funny hair. It's Richard Iodi.
He's been mentioned before.
Yeah.
Got 37 seconds left.
Okay, I'll find the time. Tom Rosenthal, son of Jim, the commentator, at 10-1. At 10-1 also Anna Maxwell Martin, and 10-1 for Martin Sheehan. Music. 7-1, Michaela Cole.
I see that. Best of favourites, straight in at number 2.
Oh, sorry.
11-2, Chris Marshall at Top of the Pops.
No.
7-2, the singer, the actor, he's part of a band whose name I can't remember.
What?
It's Ollie Alexander.
Years and years, and now I'd be surprised, to be fair. I know that some of the Chibnall would pick.
Music.
I've out of time. I've claimed that you played the end of it.
Music.
Oh, here we go. We'll start again then.
Don't worry about it.
Right.
I'm done with the countdown. So, yeah, Ollie Alexander favourite. Chris Marshall, who's back in the running.
Not for me.
He's been there for the last two or three times, isn't
Not for me.
Really? I think he'd be all right.
He could play the character, but no, not for me. It's not somebody with a bit of stature, a bit of, you know, somebody that everybody's going to sort of go, oh, that's interesting. I must watch Doctor Who, see if it's any good with so-and-so playing it. Like I say, Michael Sheen, you know, he's established...
Yeah, I mean, Michael Sheen would be... the funny thing is, I think Chris Marshall... Well, the funny thing, it would be a funny show with Chris Marshall in it.
It doesn't
necessarily have to be a funny show. It should have...
He can play pathos, but I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but in the same way that David Tennant made it a funny show.
Yeah.
When it needed to be. Chris Marshall would do the same kind of
thing. Oh, I agree. So, you can do
David Tennant's mates, Michael Sheen, attend to one. I mean, he would be fantastic, but I think he's too big for the show.
What about Ben Miller? Because he can play straight.
There's two possibilities that have not been brought up yet.
Go on, him.
Double Doctor. We completely missed one of them because it was mentioned with the whole announcement thing.
Mm.
Well, in the San Diego Comic-Con thing.
Yes.
And that is Jacob Anderson.
Yeah, but he's going to be a character.
We know nothing about this new character. Who knows? Maybe, remember, the Doctor they kind of established, although they didn't with Jodie, sometimes the Doctor comes back as influenced by other people. Also, it's going to be weird because I know nothing about John Bishop, but John Bishop is the Doctor? Who knows?
It's a possibility.
I don't think so. We'll see what happens, though. But we're getting to that stage. Every 3 years or so, we start talking about what we're going to get with
a
new
silly
Doctor.
Season. It's the
weird thing is that I wasn't expecting to be speculating on a new Doctor so quickly.
It's taken quite long. It's been 4 years since she took over the role.
And it's been mentioned so much in the tabloid press over here that it was going to happen.
Mm.
When they start saying... You know, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, they were putting stories in the tabloid saying, possibility she might be leaving.
Mm.
And at that point, you know that the journalist has heard that she's leaving.
Yes.
But they can't say yet.
I thought they were doing that a year ago.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it's been ramped up over the last couple of weeks over here. I've seen a lot of stories about it over the last month or so.
Yeah.
So it's been coming. And, you know, it was no surprise at all when it came through the other day. Not surprised.
You know, it's kind of sad that a whole year ago they were talking about them leaving.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but somehow they got talked. So we've wasted an entire year of having to live with them coming back.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have to live for another year with
speculation. Exactly. That's even worse. The longest we've had to wait, because obviously we've got this series to come. And then
left when they first announced they were going to.
And no doubt the specials are going to be around Christmas time.
Didn't they?
Mm.
Tennant was off screen when he left.
He was?
Well, not off screen, but the announcement was made when there was no Doctor.
And then they did the specials.
The series of specials.
Yeah. That sounds familiar. Do you reckon he's sort of copying the idea?
After it was announced, he was leaving.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Doctor Who news. 13th Doctor Jodie Whittaker and the 10th Doctor David Tennant will face new nemesis in a quest to save reality in a new video game to be released this autumn. Doctor Who, The Edge of Reality, will launch on Wednesday, the 30th of September, 2021. I'm not going to play the trailer.
I'm looking forward to that one, actually. Mm.
And like you said, Jacob Anderson joins Series 13 of Doctor Who. Isn't it ironic that at Series 13, the 13th Doctor will be leaving after 13 episodes? No, that's not right. Anyway, as a recurring character... Kirby.
Yes.
Jacob's new role will see him join forces with the Doctor, Yaz, and Dan. I think he'll probably end up being a baddie. He does look like a bit of a sort of thug in the picture they show on Doctor Who News.net. And then they talk about the celebrated departure of Chris Chibnall. Hurrah. Right then, so that means we can move on to our sponsors, which we haven't talked about for a while because we haven't been here for a while before. Lavazzi.
Whoone.co.uk.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
No, I said Lavazzi, you...
Oh, it's just Lavazzi.
Well,
someone needs to mention whoone.co.uk.
Well, inevitably, that will happen at some point. right, let's have a look. I'm going to have a look.
Guess what?
The shock news for Lavazzi is they sell these amazing replica Fourth Doctor scarves. And mine has been worn by such as Arthur Darvill and, well, actually, I must admit, Alex Kingston didn't wear it. She just grabbed it. And, and David Tennant held it, but then decided he didn't want to use it in the picture. But my sonic screwdriver has been held by Matt Smith and David Tennant. So my sonic screwdriver, which is in my little sonic screwdriver holder here, for the viewers only, this sonic screwdriver has been worn. It has been held by the 10th and 11th Doctors. So isn't that impressive, everybody?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, but back to Lavazzi. You can buy all sorts of cosplaying paraphernalia from Lavazzi. But the 4th Doctor scarves are so cool. Have you got yours yet, Mary? Have you got your 4th Doctor replica scarf yet from Lavazzi?
Well, not from Lavazzi, but I do have one.
Have you got your 13th Doctor replica scarf, of which Lavazzi also sell? And 7th Doctor scarves and neckerchiefs and handkerchiefs and stuff. It's a great place to buy stuff like that. And also, if you're a Doctor Who fan, they do cater for Doctor Who fans in regards to fan fiction and stuff. Join their blog and free emailing service. So it's it was a really good website.
whowon.co.uk. Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yes, them. Now, it's because we haven't been around for a while, they've got to have something new on there for me to talk about. Right, coming soon, Avalon 2. What the earth is that? Neil
Avalon
Bushell et al.
Did a song called Spaceman back in 1995. It was in an advert, then got to number one.
Blake 7. It's a Blake 7 story, Avalon 2. Ninth Doctor Adventures...
Avalon Zoo.
Ninth Doctor Adventures begin with Ravagers. Quite interested to hear them. Available as a 4-disc CD, but if you join Big Finish, obviously you can get it on download. And
Those are good stories. He's in good form doing them.
You've heard them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'd like to hear them. Outer Time 2 by David Llewellyn is a 10th Doctor story.
4th Doctor.
Yeah, and 5th Doctor, you mean?
Well, no. Well, the first one, Out of Time 1, is just 10 and 4.
So it's...
And Out of Time 2 is 10th and 5.
So it's the 10th Doctor with his father-in-law. That's an interesting scenario, isn't it? Yeah. Robots 4, is that Doctor Who? Oh, yeah, it's a story featuring the robots from Robots of Death. It's called The Robots. 10th Doctor, Dalek Universe 1, and War Begins 1, Forged in Fire, featuring the War Doctor. Not, I would imagine, played by John Hurt, or am I wrong?
No, but played by a voice actor who does him very well.
Brilliant. I'm glad they went when they do that. Works so well on audio when they can do that. John Coleshaw, wasn't he? Is he involved in Big Finish? Because he's very good at doing Doctor impressions. Probably not.
Not maybe.
Yes, he is. Right, so also what we have coming up is Age of Chaos, which is a paperback book of Colin Baker, or whatever. And Avalon 1, like you said, Mary. And latest products, I've just done that one. Of course, what they normally do is the Doctor Who magazine, which isn't listed here, but I know they sell it. And if you do live outside the UK, you can get it delivered to your door much easier than trying to find a shop in America that sells it. If you hear that clicking noise, that's me accidentally pressing the button on my sonic screwdriver, as held by Matt Smith and David Tennant, which I'm just putting
that back in. As you're pressing the buttons?
I just knocked my bell as well. Okay, so that's whowon.co.uk.
I was remembering the other day that I had Sophie and Colin both ride in my car.
Yeah, I had Colin and Christopher Ryan and Robert Sherman. Robert Sherman as well. Doctor Who Magazine 563, that was the one. Which has got the Ninth Doctor on the cover. Right, so that's Who Won, and all I've got to do now is cover iwheroes.co.uk. If you live in the United Kingdom, you can get some fab items delivered to your door, including the new highly detailed Marvel action figure range, which are absolutely fantastic. Just go to iwheroes.co.uk. On their opening page, you can see these really superb detailed figures, along with, of course, Funko Pops, a massive range of Funko Pops. I nearly bought the Ronald McDonald one that came out to go with my Colonel Sanders pop, because it's, you don't actually put weight on when you've got the Funko Pops. You can just look at them and imagine eating the delicious food that is served up by both of those fast food providers. Right then, so that's it. I've managed to do the sponsors. I deserve a ding.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I know. That's why I just did one. Right, next week, it's going to be the Army of Ghosts and... What's the second one called? There's another
Age
episode.
Of Steel? No.
No?
No. What is it?
What is it?
Is it Age of Steel?
Age of Steel? No, no, no. It's the Army of Ghosts one, isn't it?
That was the other one. No, so it's Army of Ghosts...
Doomsday, isn't it?
Doomsday, that's it.
Doomsday, yes.
So it's a double part, so you've got plenty of time to watch it.
Well, it's, just, it's the same monster.
And yeah. And to Andy, if Andy's listening, both of them.
Both of them, Andy.
Together.
Yeah, you have to sit together and watch both of them, indeed. Hopefully that'll be next week. I have, hang on, I have got...
I was wondering if we split the two-parters.
He did. That was a bit silly of him, wasn't it?
Yes,
right
was.
Then. Guess what? You're not going to like this. I will be filming this time next week, so we can't record. I do apologise. I'll be filming at Shanklin Theatre. There's no chance because the show runs from 5 till about 7:30.
So 2-week gap.
A 2-week gap, and then we're back for the 15th.
Okay. Although yeah, I have that's got a, fine.
I've got that's a fine. Hang on. I've got a job on the 15th. Why isn't that not listed here in my diary? Oh no, that's later on in the month, I think.
Right.
Why is it? You put stuff in on the diary.
15th is, I thought, when you're saying that we're going to record next.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I'm pretty sure I've got some family coming down. Bear with. Why have I got a pre-wedding shoot for the 20th of August that I did last month? And this must have gone in the wrong month. I'm getting a bit concerned about my diary here because I'm.
You better find out.
What on earth is going on? Right, hang on a sec. Actually, I might not have put it in the diary. But I did ask Marla Wynn, who's a very pretty lady, to move her shoot to later on the day. Let's see what date it is. Marla, 22nd. We're talking about the 15th, aren't we?
Yes.
So that's all right then.
So does that mean we're going to skip the 22nd?
It's quite possible. We skip the, but basically because my mum wants me to attend a family visit, dinner, and then after that I've got a pre-wedding shoot at about 5 p.m. Possibly other end of the island. Again, it's going to be doubtful I can get back in time to
that's
do that.
That's fine.
Marla, pre-wedding. I'm typing it in here. My phone is obviously very unreliable to retaining information in. Things, which means I'm never going to use it again for writing in entries to this
never,
diary.
Never, ever, ever.
I'm really worried that I've missed stuff that I have actually added in. And I'm going to get a message off. So we're waiting here for you, and I'm going to be saying, it happened to me once, actually, not because of this diary system, that I just forgot that I was doing a pre-wedding shoot in Shanklin. And they said, we're here. Are you coming? And I was sat in here, this room, looking at the message on my foot going, so yes, I'm on my way. I'm stuck in traffic. Well, I wasn't, of course. I was on my way, and it was quite late enough. But the time
he's on the Isle of Wight, where there's only 9 cars, that can only happen.
Yeah, but trouble is, it's still going to take you half an hour to get from Cowes to Shanklin, which indeed is what happened. And I just had to wing it and blag it, and then told them a bit later that I fibbed.
Are there plans for another convention that you're going to be running?
I always have plans for that, but a certain person has plans to veto them. But I have got a between you and me, because no one else is listening.
Since Cal's Week is going on, I realize that there's COVID restrictions, but I really like the time that you had the convention marching in the parade.
That's not going to happen because all the carnivals are cancelled, and also the chap who runs Cows Carnival, Bill's Afloat, is very ill at the moment, so I don't think that's going to happen again. I have a plan. An avenue I'm attempting to travel down is that a lady called Lorraine White, a very nice lady, and she basically runs all Wessex Cancer Trust's events for raising money for Wessex Cancer Trust. And I've suggested to her that we run FantasyCon as a charity, so a fundraising event for Wessex Cancer Trust. Therefore, I have my sort of, you know, contacts to bring in guests, and she has her contacts in regards to corporate interest in such an event. Not that we, obviously, all we want to do is make some money for the charity and pay the celebrity guests. So if we break even on that score or make money for the charity, woohoo! Everyone's happy.
The celebrity guests and...
Well, you got paid.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, guests then. All right. Pay everybody that needs to be paid.
why don't you... import some American fans.
That costs money.
Yeah, but we could sponsor.
Right, okay.
If Kirby did something, like, to raise his fare...
Raise his what?
...to England and make a donation...
Well, let's wait until the current health situation is over, and then we'll see what happens.
No, I'm talking about something you could do quite easily, Kirby, like a marathon of Doctor Who or something.
Right, okay. This idea is certainly nothing going to be happening this year. If anything, it would be right. The earliest next year.
Maybe the year after.
It's
maybe
got
we'll
to be a situation that, yes, we did pay everybody FantasyCon. Sadly, it was out of mine and Deb's own money that we'd earned from doing weddings that year. We don't want to be in that situation again, and certainly Deb won't. It would be an absolute disaster. But I feel that with the right people involved behind the scenes, it is viable to create an event that will, you know, raise money and break even and continue to run in that way. So we've got a good infrastructure for the event. We certainly won't be doing it at Cowes Enterprise College again because they want loads of money. In fact, the bloke asked me the other day, he said, "Oh, are you going to be doing it again?" I didn't say to him, I should perhaps have said, no, because we don't want to pay, £1,500 for 2 days. Even though the school was a great location, it was just ridiculous to pay that sort of money. You know, when you think what's the one in up north that Steve Hatcher runs? Is it Hooverville? It is.
Boring the listeners, though.
No, I'm just saying.
Hooverville. Absolutely thrilled.
No, I'm just saying. This is the last thing I say. Hooverville, they have a great venue promoted by the people who actually own the venue. That's the sort of thing we're looking for. Anyway, so
started in a train station.
Magnificent. Next time, 2 weeks' time, the big sort of season finale and the end of Rose as a regular companion.
No! You've been leading up to this!
So, until then, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Get out of here, you crazy cats.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.